If you're down in the valley, we invite you to come up a little higher. Join the conversation. The John and Kathy Show continues on 101.5 WORD.
I was struck by the latest blog by Joel Rosenberg. Now, if you're not familiar with Joel's name, Joel is a, he's an author of fiction that actually teaches you something about current events.
It's like the headlines in a fictional account come to life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So if you feel like being in a relatively safe place in America, you can't understand what the threat of Islamic terror would mean for a person, Joel's books can bring it home to you in a way that is extraordinarily effective and real. Joel has dual citizenship in both Israel and the United States. So he's comfortable in the Middle East. He's comfortable here in the West. And so his perspective is different than what you and I would normally hear. Joel wrote in detail about a visit with King Abdullah of Jordan. King Abdullah, you might know, is in the middle of a volatile situation in the Middle East, being sandwiched between Israel, Iraq, and Syria. And I don't think there is a world leader who has done more for Syrian refugees and Iraqi refugees than King Abdullah has done. Now, this is a man who is a Muslim. This is a man who is part of a royal lineage, and he is reaching out in a way that is shocking. It's just, it's shocking, it's interesting, it's compelling, and it makes me wonder if we in America maybe have sold ourselves short. Maybe we, and I'm not saying that the refugee crisis or the immigration issue is anything that is easy for us to contemplate or has any easy answers for us. But reading about King Abdullah and looking at his incredibly small country and how he has truly thrown his arms open, but not in a way that is prosaic or simplistic. He knows what the threat is. He is protecting his people, but at the same time, he recognizes that he is positioned uniquely to help people who are in crisis. And so I look at that small country and I think, look at everything they're doing. And then I look at us and look, I'm not saying I want to throw open the borders. I'm not saying that. I'm not even sure how I feel about Trump's travel ban, to be perfectly honest with you. One thing I do know. We have a gigantic country. We have a lot of us who are incredibly capable. And just reading a story like Joel Rosenberg penned about King Abdullah of Jordan, it made me
think. Yeah. That's a great story, right? Because, like you said, we were at the prayer breakfast today, and Salim Gabril joined us. He told his story about coming to the United States as an immigrant, as a Syrian refugee.
No, Lebanese.
I mean, that alone makes you think, do you have the answers for this?
No.
Who does? So it's a fascinating story. Let's take a break, come back, and Joel Rosenberg will be with us in just a few minutes. All right, stick around. New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg is with us. Joel holds dual citizenships in the United States and Israel and writes effectively from that unique perspective. His brand new work is called Without Warning. Joel, welcome back to Word FM. How are you?
Hey, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Joel, there are so many things that we could talk about because the world is certainly not a dull place right now. But I want to go to your most recent blog piece about your trip to Jordan. I was absolutely taken with this. So King Abdullah actually read one of your books and was so fascinated by it, he invited you and your wife to take a trip to Jordan.
That's right. He invited us to come for 5 days last year. To meet with him personally 3 different times and to meet with his top generals. Why? Because my novels, the series, that including the one that just came out, the new one, Without Warning, this is about the threat that the Islamic State poses, not just to Americans, but to Jordanians and to Israelis and obviously to Syrians and Iraqis. More Muslims are dying at the hands of the Islamic State than anyone else. And so it's an enormous threat. King Abdullah, of course, is Muslim. He's a Sunni. He's a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad directly. I mean, his family, his forebears, they ruled Mecca and Medina for 900 years. And it's quite a legacy. So for him to invite a Jewish evangelical dual U.S.-Israeli citizen who wrote a series about the possible assassination of him and his and overthrow of his kingdom, among other threats in the series. That, you know, he should have been banning me from the kingdom rather than inviting me. But he could see in the book that I was not trying to say this is what should happen, but what this is what could happen if our leaders don't take the ISIS threat seriously. And it was a fascinating week, probably the most fascinating of anything I've ever done in my life.
I have been just terrifically interested with this man for the last couple years, just watching how he has been navigating the Islamic threat and the threat that continues to grow. Can you talk about that? I mean, that has to be at the heart of what his day-to-day work is.
Well, that's right. And Jordan's king is somebody that the United States needs to do more to assist, to help as a key ally. He is our most faithful Sunni Arab ally. And that's why I didn't know how to make him a fictional character. Like, in my novel, these are novels, right? I'm making this stuff up. Right. So every character is fictional except him. He is actually a named character. It says King Abdullah II. I mean, I didn't know how to make him up because I thought people would think, oh, come on, a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad who has a strategic alliance with the United States, is fighting ISIS, a former special forces commander of Jordan, and he has a peace treaty with Israel? Like, come on, nobody's going to believe that, which is why I made him a character. Now, that was a risk. Right. So somehow it worked out. But it's because he is, I think, uniquely suited for this moment. Now, he's not alone. There are wonderful Muslim leaders all throughout the Muslim world who are working with us. President al-Sisi in Egypt. I just actually met with the ambassador from Azerbaijan. Hmm. Azerbaijan is a Shia Muslim country that is an ally of the United States. And in December, Azerbaijan invited Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to visit there, and he did. Like, these are stories that most people don't know. And I'm trying to write novels that, yes, talk about the threat of terrorism, but also behind the scenes, my characters go in and learn all these interesting relationships that most Americans don't know anything about.
Talk about, Joel, your as you traveled to Jordan, as you talked to the leader of Azerbaijan, spending your time personally between Israel and America, the election of Donald Trump and the early days of the Trump administration, what changes are people sensing? I don't want to say what's the feeling of the world, because that's way too sweeping, but the people with whom you've spoken, how are they viewing it?
Well, thank you for the question. That's a big question. Let me first, so you know my context. You have to understand that I was a never Trumper until Thursday before the election. Okay, so I'm a late adopter,
yeah.
Okay? I was very, very concerned, but in the end, several things changed me. One, I'm personal friends with Mike and Karen Pence, the vice president, now vice president, and so I thought, well, he likes my books, and they both do. Oh, sorry, I'm in a cab.
Tip them out.
Sorry about that. We're running a little late here in New York. So I popped, oh my gosh, you're getting the whole thing. Anyway.
It's live radio.
Yeah, I apologize. So anyway, I thought, am I really going to vote against Mike and Karen Pence? Plus, it really was a binary choice, and so I went with it. And I believe that Hillary needed to be stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So now I'm done. I apologize. So anyway, I am finding myself surprised at how well Trump is doing. Okay, so you want to understand my concerns and my criticisms, but he changed his position on the Muslim ban, right? And so he's got the current executive order is a good one. The team that he has is excellent. These are solid, professional, experienced people that are running the intelligence services, that are running the Defense Department. So I think he's reaching out not only to Israel, which I'm glad about, he's reaching out to Muslim leaders. The Saudi crown prince was just in Washington, so that was good, and they had an excellent meeting. the Jordanian king was just there a few weeks ago. So you have a totally different Trump in certain ways on national security than we saw in the campaign. And he's acting much more professionally, and he's moderating. I don't mean moderating in terms of philosophy, but, you know, that Muslim ban stuff was horrible. And I was against him saying, we're not going to let any Muslim into our country. And that's just going to inflame the Muslim world against us at a moment where we need our allies, like the Jordanians and the Egyptians and others. So that's a little bit of context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how are you taking the news media account? You know, fake news, no news, gigantic liberal slant news. I mean, if you listen to mainstream media, they're saying the Trump presidency is a complete and unmitigated disaster. I think it runs contrary to a lot of well-meaning, informed people's ideas.
Well, I think you've got several things going on. First, you do have, absolute liberal hatred of the president. I mean, there's just no way around that. It's obvious. They hate him, and they are going to do everything they can to take him down. Look, I'm an evangelical. I'm Jewish, but I'm an evangelical. And part of my worldview is, like, I would consider the Trump presidency a marriage I wasn't sure was a good idea, but now that it's happened, you have to support it and try to help it work. You can't be against every single thing he does. We need him to protect us, right? Mm-hmm. We need him to make good decisions. Otherwise, we got a long haul. We're only 2 months in, and we've got to defend ourselves when people are trying to kill us.
Yeah.
Not to mention get the economy going. So that's part of it. There's the fake news element. Yes, there's a solution for people who want to make things up for a living. Become a novelist. That's what I did. You know? So, there's a job for that. It's not journalist. It's novelist. But the other thing, one last part of that is you do have to say that while President Trump has made great choices in his team, and he, you know, I thought the State of the Union address, the joint address, was excellent. But then he does some things that you think, oh my gosh, you've got to be kidding me. And he really shouldn't be tweeting at 3:30 in the morning, because nobody should.
Nobody should.
You say, what's the proverb that says when words are many, sin is not absent? Mm-hmm. Now, if Twitter had been around, 3,000 years ago, it might have said, don't use your thumbs to advance something, to say something stupid. The president has done some of that.
Joel Rosenberg, New York Times best-selling author, his new book called Without Warning. Joel, our time's up. Thanks so much.